Hello there. You've chosen to download episode 500 of Gareth Jones on Speed, probably making this Britain's longest running car podcast. Now, 500 episodes is something special, so stand by for a special episode where I go on a 500-mile journey and pick up some friends along the way and stop off at some very interesting car-related places. You're going to love this. Hello, welcome to Gareth Jones on Speed, episode 500. I'm Gareth, and you must be joking. Really? 500 episodes of Gareth Jones on Speed. Thank you from the heart. As we say in Welsh, diolchol galon. Thank you from the heart for supporting this ridiculous venture which started 19 years ago. I'm driving, not at speed. I'm doing a very sedate 58 earth miles per hour, Welsh earth miles per hour, as I'm leaving home from my new home in Conwy in North Wales, where I moved a few months ago, and I'm going on this 500 mile journey. Let's just have a look. How much have I done so far? 9 miles. I'm just approaching Abergele, or Abergele, as some people might say. And the North Wales Expressway, the A55, a dual carriageway with a speed limit of 70 miles per hour, has just gone to 70 miles per hour, this bit here. So, yeah, probably hear the noise, the wind noise. Listen. I'm in my car. It's my Citroën C4 Cactus, diesel, automatic. And it's not the most refined car in the world in terms of noise, harshness and vibration, because it's a diesel, but it's got lovely suspension. It is a Citroën. It does float. It's really nice. Now, this 500 mile journey has started in Conwy in my car, but if all goes well, by the end of today I will be picking up a very interesting car, which I think we may have been critical about in the past, but we're about to find out whether it cuts the mustard. No clues yet, no clues. Now, this journey, I'm heading down to Northamptonshire. I'm going to stay with my mate Michael for the night, and in theory collect this interesting car tomorrow, and then tomorrow I'm going to head into London and pick up Zog, Mr. Paul Ireson, and then we're going to pick up Mr. Richard Sniff Petrol Porter for a kind of old school edition of Gareth Jones on Speed. Me, Zog and Richard. And we're going to go on a journey. The journey will do two things. It will go forwards, sideways and backwards. The forwards, I'll tell you about in a bit. The sideways, I've asked Zog and Richard to come up with a location that we can get to in a car that is car related and interesting, and you may not know about it, or there might be stuff going on there that we'll find interesting. And if we find it interesting, I know that the On Speed subscribership, you're going to love it, right? It's going to be interesting. We're going deep car geek, because that's what we've done for Gareth Jones on Speed for 500 episodes. Podcasting is different to broadcasting. When you're broadcasting, you go to a general audience. When you're podcasting, you target a specialist audience. So thank you for being a specialist. You are a specialist. If you listen to this show, you are a specialist. Now, I've got somewhere very interesting and I hope surprising in mind for the location of where I'm going to take Richard and Zog. I don't know where those two are going to take me. It's a bit of a magical mystery tour. Now, that's the sideways bit. The backwards bit, I've asked Richard and Zog to look deep in their archive, in their subconsciousness perhaps, their memory banks, and try and find a moment in On Speed history that they remember well or loved, and we'll share that with you. There have been some ridiculous moments over the years. We'll be flashing back to those in this episode, episode 500 of Gareth Jones On Speed. Right, I'm just getting close to Holywell now. Well, actually St Asaph, I should say. I was born and educated in St Asaph, although brought up in Holywell nearby. I am a Holywellian. I am a very proud Holywellian. But now I'm a Conwyite. Is that right? I don't know if that's what you say is. Although, to most people's ears in Conwy, I sound like a Londoner now. Having lived in London for 43 years, I talk like this. Even when I'm speaking Welsh, Mongeni Ofn, Pendwyn Siarad Cymraeg, Dwi'n Swnio fel Rwy'n o EastEnders. I worry that when I speak Welsh, I sound like someone from EastEnders. Having for 43 years lived in London with a Welsh accent. How does that work? Anyway, I've got a little off topic, and there'll be plenty more off topic stuff, because my brief to Richard and Zog for this programme is just go with it. Whatever comes to mind, let's do it. Let's have fun. It's a party. Happy birthday, Gareth Jones On Speed.
A dip into the archive of Gareth Jones On Speed.
Are you sure this is a good idea?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
OK, Scuderia Ferrari Singer Beer commercial, take one. Remember, Kimmy, say your name, take a swig of the beer, then say, I love the great taste of Singer Beer. That's all you have to do. We don't want a rerun of rehearsals. OK, ready, action!
I'm Kimmy Räikkönen. I love this, whatever.
Cut! Stop it there, Kimmy. Remember, it's name, quick swig, then the line. Fresh bottle in there, please. Thank you. Right, ready? And action!
Hey, I'm Kimmy Räikkönen.
Cut! Just a little swig, Kimmy. That's all it needs. Name, little swig, line. OK, can we get a new bottle in there, please, props? Thank you. And ready, action. Cut. Again, Kimmy, it's name, little swig, then the tagline.
Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Jesus, can someone pick Kimmy up off the front of the yacht, please?
How is this happening?
I don't know. It's not even real beer in there.
We need to keep working all four tyres, please. Keep working all
yes,
four.
Yes, I'm doing all the time. I don't have to remind everybody.
You became world champion, no big deal. Went to NASCAR, that was unreal. Then in a rally, no one took notice. Then you came back and you won in a Lotus.
Leave me alone, I know what I'm doing. You don't have to tell me all of the time. When Kimmy's at the track, there's trouble brewing. He says, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing.
Leave me alone, I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone, I know what I'm doing.
Speed music.
This is
Patrick Head.
Patrick.
Yes?
Patrick.
What?
Patrick, you're on.
I'm what?
Live, on air.
Sorry, went for a curry with Keke Rosberg last night. Spicy as a sod.
Patrick, everyone can hear you. The microphone is live.
What? Now?
Say
something, but I've just been... Oh, bloody hell!
Step Central with Gareth Jones On Speed!
Hello, update. I'm recording this bit some I don't know, 12 hours after what I recorded earlier on for this show. I spent the night in Northamptonshire, staying in a place called Woolerton, where Doc Martens have their headquarters, bizarrely, with my friend Michael. And today I'm driving into town to pick up the boys. I'm driving through Northamptonshire at the moment. It's a very relaxing 60 miles per hour in my Citroën still. Because unfortunately, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, the car, the very interesting car that I was hoping to borrow to take Richard and Zog for a drive in tonight, didn't manifest, unfortunately. They are a new car company, I could call them a startup. And the car that they had, they only have a small fleet, and they really thought that they... Oh, hang on. Telephone call. My mate Bobby. Hold on. Hello, mucker. You're all right?
Hello, mate. You're in the car.
I am. I'm in the car. I'm listening to navigation. I am recording... for Gareth Jones on Speed as we speak. So you are being recorded right now. Would you like to wish us...
Thank you for warning me.
Yes. Do you want to wish us congratulations on our 500th episode?
It is episode 500. Wow. Congratulations.
That's a ridiculous idea, isn't it?
Yeah, who'd have thought you'd make it to 500?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
How is that possible? I don't know. Persistence, having lots to talk about. And Bob, I can't believe that in the years you've been doing this programme that we haven't actually had you on the show. I've quoted many things that you've said.
No, it's probably very good that you haven't had me on, doing your listening figures.
I don't know
actually,
about
I've
that.
I've got an interesting thought for you.
Go on.
What if there were no regulations to constrain him, what do you think Adrian Newey would design with a totally clean piece of paper?
Well, that's a very good question. I think we know. Didn't he do a concept car that was in a game like...
Oh, this is a terrible line, mate. You're very ditzy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hopefully it'll come back.
But it's not your fault. It's the...
The network.
Network's fault.
I think we know what he would do given a free hand. He designed a car, a concept sort of super F1 car for something like Gran Turismo or a video game a few years ago. And it had a cockpit.
It's just an arrow with four wheels, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much. That would be the perfect design for a car.
Whatever
he designed, it would have to be something that couldn't go too fast, otherwise you wouldn't have anywhere that you could run it, because you couldn't run it on a grade one circuit, could you?
You're totally digital now. Listen, let's try this another time, okay?
All right, Mucky, listen.
I just thought I'd throw that one at you.
It's a very good question. I'll discuss it.
As a thought.
Yeah, it's a good thought.
And also, I wouldn't want to be under the pressure that he's going to be under at Aston Martin to produce.
Oh, man. It takes more than one person to turn a team round.
That's the time he actually does an FW16.
Yeah.
So you're just going...
All right, Mucka.
Bye.
Good to hear you. Ta-ra. Bobby Troman, who's been a pal of mine for a very, 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 very long time. When did we meet? 1983, May the 11th or something like that. Don't ask me how I know that, but I do. Bob was the Alarm's lighting designer when I was their guitar roadie, and we actually lived in the same flat together for 8 years. He was my best man when I got married, and he loves cars. And Bob spends most of his time driving around these days in a mobility chair, not a mobility scooter. He had a stroke about, 14 years ago now, that meant he doesn't have much use of the left-hand side of his body, so he relies on a motorised wheelchair to get around. And he always phones me up because he notices things about cars from a different height to everybody else, because he's like a foot or two lower. He's always talking about, well, have you ever noticed the bumpers or the fuel filler on the Bentley Bentayga? You know what I mean? Love him. My good mate. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you for the best wishes for episode 500. Right, where were we before we were interrupted? I was explaining that the car that we were going to drive today was from a small startup, I think we can call them that. They don't have many cars in their press fleet. Thought they could get a car for us, but unfortunately, as it actually, when it really boiled down to it, they couldn't. And I don't blame them for that, because they didn't get much notice and they were trying to be really, really, really helpful. And I won't name them, I won't say who they are, until we drive their car, which is going to happen at some point soon, I believe. Right then, you know the plan. This is episode 500 of Gareth Jones on Speed. Time now for another clip from the archive.
I love motorsport. Tenko Fisichella. Jensen Button. Juan Pablo. Montoya. Fernando Alonso. I like them to the crash.
Gareth Jones on Speed. Mad as a lorry.
The OG Gareth Jones on Speed team was me, Zog, and Richard Porter. But lots of other people have regularly appeared on the show. Violet Berlin, Raph Perks, Vince Borg, Ted Kravitz, Stevie Sackin, Carol and Steve Summers, Jonathan Sanderson, Matthew Eisenegger, Doug Ellison and Johnny Smith have all appeared on the podcast multiple times. But there are two members of the current on-speed team who can't be with us today because they're elsewhere in the world. I'm talking about Sarah Leach in Australia and Alex Goy, who's on holiday in Europe, as usual. So here's a couple of clips. First of all, Sarah and then Alex talking about their favourite subjects.
Sarah Leach on Speed!
Look, I do think there's moves to positive change already. Lewis is a huge advocate for it. There's a lot more women involved in the sport. Women are getting more and more opportunities. I think the main thing for me is that back in the day, even when Mark Webber was driving and early on when Ayrton Senna and all those drivers were racing, and Daniel Ricciardo was a huge fan of Ayrton Senna. He used to get up at all hours of the morning and watch him as a little kid. Now, if I was a little girl, I wouldn't be able to watch Formula One and see women driving cars. I didn't have any role models. I didn't know that women could do it. So little girls just think it's a boys' sport and they weren't allowed to do it. You know, it's a bit like ballet and little boys. You know, they just think it's a girls' sport, but it's not. It's open to both genders. And I think more and more as young girls see other women get behind the wheel of a motor racing car, they'll start to believe that they can do that too. So it's just getting more female role models and more, I guess, multi-raced, I guess, role models. And Lewis Hamilton is a great role model for, you know, I guess the black community.
Yeah.
That I don't think the colour of your skin really is a definitive, but I do think there is a lot of merit in saying that young kids do need to see that they can do it too if they want to, because, you know, their role models are doing it.
Alex Goy on Speed!
As of 8 o'clock this morning, according to the embargo, I can finally talk about it. Yeah, it is after 8 a.m. on the 24th of February 2022, so that's good. There's a new Morgan three-wheeler, except it's not called the Morgan three-wheeler anymore. It's called the Super 3. There's lots of threes kicking around in it. So now there's still three wheels, but there's also three cylinders to its engine. It's a Ford 1.5-litre EcoBoost thing, but without the boost, so it's got no turbo on it.
Yeah.
Five-speed Mazda gearbox, just like the one I've got, which means it's going to be brilliant. 118 horsepower, 110 pound-foot. Compared to the old ones, there were two power outputs. So if you got an early one, I think pre-17, you could have 82.5 brake horsepower. The most interesting thing about it isn't the price or the power. The power would be fun. The power delivery itself, by the way, the torque kicks in a lot later, so it's quite a revvy beast. You've got to rev it super high to get the best out of it. Its turning circle will be better than the last ones, which is great because the turning circle in the last one is shocking. But it's genuinely fascinating. They've done loads of stuff. They listened to idiots like me who had concerns to do with touring, luggage, getting it wet, XYZ. So when it comes to luggage, you'll see in the pictures, it's covered in these sort of universal fasteners. I think it's Morgan's first ever patent. And what you can do is you can buy a cup holder in a Morgan. You can buy a phone holder so you can have your iPhone and Google Maps doing its thing. Or you can change the windscreens, because they're connected to those as well. Those single bits of superformed plastic. So you can have big, tall windscreens for distance. You can have no windscreen at all. You can have short windscreens. You can do whatever you want there. But the coolest thing, a bit like sort of old touring cars and motorbikes from way back when. So they've got loads of tough leathers and man-made materials if you want to go vegan styly. Now, the dials are centrally mounted again. They're all digital this time, and the fuel gauge goes down the whole thing, and it's all very 80s inspired. All the switches have little gaiters on them. But the cool thing about it is you can jet wash it. So you can leave it outside in a hurricane and it won't dissolve.
Gareth Jones on speed 500!
I'm sat still in traffic, 270 miles into our 500-mile journey. I'm in West London on Wood Lane, where BBC Television Centre is, where both Richard and I, and occasionally Zog even, worked a lifetime ago. And I've just spoken to Zog. He's at White City Tube. He's going to come out and jump in the car with me now. Hooray! Here we go.
Gareth Jones on speed.
Hey!
Zog, hi man, how are you?
I did it when I got out and saw the traffic. I did think 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Unless you were 100 yards up the road, you're being a little bit optimistic.
I was 100 yards up the road, and it still took 3 minutes or something like that.
Hey, it's London traffic for you.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. The Citadel. There's loads going on here. I forgot. You forget very quickly just how intense London is.
That's probably new from when you were last
Yeah.
year.
What is that?
Building?
We're looking at a giant tower block in front of us on the corner of Wood Lane and the Euston, or Marylebone Road, whatever that's called, the A40 elevated section. It's quite something, that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It looks like it's about... maybe where BBC Worldwide used to be, or maybe still is.
Oh, is yeah, right? It's on the north side then, or
yeah,
is it on the side?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I assume it's flats. Looks like it's probably a block of flats, looks like that, rather than offices.
Can I ask you to hold the microphone for
it's
me?
It's quite pretty. Thank there you. We go.
Not car-related, that location, then?
No, that is not going to be a stop on our trip today.
Oh, that would have been convenient. But it's not. It's not. We've got to find where Richard is in Marylebone, or Marylebone, as people say, and pick him up. And we've got to work out, really, our route of the three locations that we're going to that are car-related. What is going to be the optimum option, considering the few hours that we've got together to do this?
Well, my suggested stop is around Slough. So that will probably be the last stop on our trip.
Funnily enough, my stop is around Slough.
Okay, we may have to compare addresses. I hope we haven't gone for the same thing.
Well, if we do, let's find out.
We'll find out. Yeah,
that'll be very interesting. Oh my gosh, okay. I'm wondering. Okay, we're not allowed to
play. No spoilers, because... No, can't, I can't even give you a clue. We have to go in there cold. We can't feel our way towards this.
Correct, it's got to be a surprise, hasn't it? Right, let me get Richard's location up on maps.
Is he sharing location live?
He's not sharing live, but he gave me the... details of where he's going to be. According to this, it's 26 minutes away from here. The Allsop Arms.
Okay. Don't know that.
Not like Richard to be in a pub, is it? Doesn't like drinking very much, does he? No.
Where did he get that idea from?
Yeah.
So how was your trip? How was your trip down?
Great. Yeah, I spent the night with Michael Cumming last night.
Excellent.
In Northamptonshire, and that was very pleasant. The drive down has been unusually straightforward, really. I mean, it was largely 50 miles per hour. You know what the M1, the M6, M56, A55 is like. It's mostly. We're not allowed to do a U-turn here, are we, to get round there? So how do we do this?
I reckon you'll just duck into a side road and do a
side road.
Yeah, go in there. You've got a. That's a good place to.
Let's let's do this. That's not a U-turn, is it? Because we're actually going in here. Wasn't technically a U-turn.
That's right, if you go in there and then do a little three-point turn here, or just back to it. Yeah, there you go. That's what you want to do.
Hey, fantastic. Look at me driving a Citroen.
Hey, you like a Citroen?
We love a Citroen.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a Citroen?
And how's this working out?
It's fab. It's low stress. It's not a fast car. It's a very economical car. Look at that, 62.7 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
On the way from North Wales.
That's pretty good. That's very nice. Very
it's very good, isn't it? It's diesel, you can hear. And it's got stop-start. And it's got the slowest robotised manual gearbox in the world. You cannot hurry in this car.
It's a very clean interior. Very uncluttered. I like that.
That's exactly what appealed to me about this car. It was kind of minimalist. Look at the graphics on the dash. They look like something from Gerry Anderson's UFO.
I was going to say, almost like that. It's got a sort of slightly kind of retro-futurist 70s graphic design thing.
Yeah.
Which works for me, and
It's kind of as the future looked in the past.
Yes, yes.
And the future always looked better in the past, didn't it?
Of course,
it does. And careful with your Mini Countryman. It's effortless. This car, it's voluminous. I can get my bass guitar in now that I'm the occasional bass player for one of the Alarm franchises. You know about this?
I know you were playing with Eddie recently.
Yeah.
So are there now rival touring versions of the Alarm?
I wouldn't describe them as rivals. I would describe them as complimentary.
Good. Okay. No, I like that. I prefer that.
And I'm still very much connected to Mike Peters and the band who play as the Alarm at the moment.
Yeah.
But as you know, I'm still connected to Eddie McDonald, the original guitarist, Dave Sharp, the original guitarist, and Nigel Twist, the drummer. And so whenever they do stuff, I get called up to do things with them. But it's the first time I have ever played the Alarm's first album in its entirety. Ever, let alone the fact that it was at a gig in front of people. We had no rehearsal, but it was great. It was great, and kind of a lifetime achievement, really, for me.
Yeah.
I was never good enough to be in the Alarm. They're better musicians than me, but they let me in through the side door, which is fine.
Yeah, that must have been absolutely fantastic.
So, how long has the M40 elevated section been down to 30 miles per hour? This is a lifetime since I've driven on this road.
It's a dagger in the heart, the M40 elevated section Westway down to 30 miles an hour. This used to be one of the few places in London where you could safely get up a bit of speed, could we say? Dual carriageway. And when it was empty, it was a very pleasant, quick bit of road. I think it's been 30 miles an hour for off the top of my head, I'm going to say, 5 years, but that's almost certainly 15. Or at least 10, probably.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I don't remember driving on this road for some time. I certainly don't ever remember it being 30 miles per hour. I know it's been 40, but hey, London changes quickly, right? Things change quickly here. Money flows through and speeds up the rate of change, doesn't it? That's my view, anyway.
I'm just wondering, money flows through and... of course, that's a big part of the story in a city like London, which is one of the richest cities in the world and we're a world-leading centre in, laundering Russian criminal money. We're going great guns. It's population, I think, that drives change city much more than money.
Okay.
Money might enable it. It's population. It's people that drives change. And from a driving point of view, in recent years, a lot of people would say that, you know, driving in London has got massively worse because of difficulties caused by congestion charging, low emission zones, which I think, you know, rather on the contrary, are things that you need to do to manage the increasing volume of traffic that's driven by the number of people who are driving in London. And the physical changes in terms of, you know, new buildings, bits of the city becoming more vibrant, more active, and, you know, just having more more people going to and from that bit of town. That's driven by people, I would say, more than money. But there's going to be a complicated relationship between the people and the money.
Yeah, with people comes cash, hopefully.
It works the other way around. You know, money draws people as well.
Well, in the 500 episodes that I've been driving around London in, London is a very different place to drive these days than it was in 2005 when we started the show. And I remember I'd stopped doing meetings in West London on Fridays at White City because it took anything up to 2.5 hours to drive there from my house to White City. It was pretty bad. I think the traffic overall speed in London is probably quicker now, thanks to congestion charge, thanks to you, Les, thanks to electric scooters and electric bikes. London is more quickly flying. I seem to remember back in the 80s it was slower moving than in the 1850s or something like that.
I don't remember the 1850s. I couldn't tell you about that.
There was some stat about that. The traffic, average traffic speed in London was slower in the 1980s than it was in the horse and cart period.
No, I think I've read that same stat. And back then, around 20 years ago, I think I had a couple of little spots in central London that, were my kind of go-to parking places.
Yes.
Because they would tend to be a little bit, you know, out of the way, not very well known. I was one on John Adams Street. That was quite a good spot. I don't have, you know, any of that anymore. I never try to go into town, you know, and drive and park anymore. It hasn't seemed like a good idea for quite a long time.
I quite enjoy the idea, living in Conwy now, that if I want to go somewhere, I step outside my door, I get my car, and I drive there. You know, the public transport, it isn't great in North Wales, but owning a car again means I am liberated in a way I wasn't, because I sold the Sora some 7 years ago, perhaps, now. And survived on my bus pass and my Oyster card in London, and that was great. I could get anywhere and everywhere pretty quickly on the public transport. So am I a fan of driving in London? Not anymore. No, who would be, eh?
Yeah, it's more frustrating than satisfying, you know. But when I'm driving in London these days, it's always because I've got to carry a thing. You know, there's something that I need to move or pick up, and that's why I take the car rather than bike or public transport.
Yeah, I'm wondering how long it's going to take us to get to Richard Porter. According to Google, it says 8 minutes. We're doing 8 miles per hour. And I wonder if he'll be there, actually, when we get there. He probably won't be.
Hang on, how are we doing for time? It is... we might be a little bit early. If he's there 6:30, we might be early.
Which would be ridiculous, really, wouldn't it?
Hey, it's... I think it'll take us 15 minutes to get anywhere from here, by the looks of this.
Yeah.
Is he on Marylebone High Street?
On the corner of Gloucester Place. Well, he's on Gloucester Place, which is just off the Marylebone Road.
Okay.
We told him we were on schedule to meet him there. So, yeah, I don't need to call him. We'll arrive when we arrive.
Yeah. He won't panic if we're a few minutes late.
A dip into the archive of Gareth Jones on Speed.
Toto Wolff, you weren't in Brazil for the final race of the season. Does this mean we won't see you at F1 races in 2020?
No. I'll be at races next year, of course.
Ah, so are you saying that, in any sense, you will, as it were, return?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You will return?
This is what I'm saying.
Can you actually say it?
I can confirm that I will assume my usual position of attending races next season.
You will return?
I just said yes.
Say it again. Say you will return. But say it not quite like that.
I confirmed this already. My return to races is guaranteed.
So, you will return?
Why do you keep asking me this?
Just do it.
I'll be back.
Toto Wolff, thank you. Now, I have here some clothes, some boots and a motorcycle. Would you like them?
Step Petrol! We are a Jones on speed!
What's that bob there?
That's the place.
Also Arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Richard, answer. Where are you? Pull in here.
I'm going to pull in here.
Yeah, bum.
He's in the area. Do you want to hold that for you?
Thank you. No sign of Richard. Let's try again. Richard?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Ah, hello. We're here. We're parked next to the pub. We're in the street next to it.
Yeah, I was going to look at the mug. That's actually going to be less than 7 minutes.
I didn't understand what you said then.
I think he's walking towards us.
Ah.
No, okay. 10 minutes,
I'll be
within 10 minutes.
Okay, cool, got that, thank you.
Right, okay, see you in a few.
Okay, bye. A Richard Porter has been spotted walking towards us. Hello, welcome to the world of purple hatchbacks.
Hello.
Hello, mate, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Came a long way.
No, I've just come from the tube, but I took a wrong turn, so...
What's that, London? You don't know a third of the way round here, do you know?
My brain has sloughed itself of all London knowledge. Now I don't live here, so...
Hey, would you like to expand your our knowledge of London with car-related locations to go to?
Well, we're sort of in one now.
Are we?
We're right behind it.
This building, this... Zog, jump out. We started already. You're joking, really?
So... Yeah, gentlemen, the reason I've invited you here is because of this 1960s building behind us. These are flats now. This is Marathon House. It was built in 1959, or finished in 1959, and officially opened in 1960 as the headquarters of Castrol Oil, and then later Burma Castrol Oil. And they were here, they moved in just... at the end of the 50s and officially opened it in 1960, and they were here until 1973, when this becomes a bit more relevant, because in 1973 this became the headquarters of British Leyland.
No, right here.
Yeah, this building, it's massive. It's considered quite an exemplar of sort of modern 1960s architecture, and it was one of, if not the first, full glass curtain sided skyscraper.
Really?
This green glass, this has been replaced. It's replaced. It's turned into flats in 1998. They had to replace all the facades. So they're not original. But originally, it was all glass, but the green bits were done with, for the first time in Britain, this new technique where they flow dye over glass to make green glass. And it originally, there were, I think, fluorescent tubes inside them, so the whole thing lit up green at night.
Nice.
And in 1973, British Leyland took out a 20-year lease to make this their global headquarters right here on the Marylebone Road, 200 Marylebone Road, and it was renamed Leyland House.
Get out of here! That's now, fantastic!
But this becomes then rather symbolic of the decline of the British motor industry, because they took out a 20-year lease on this building, and by 1977, Michael Edwards took over as the boss of Leyland. He, in fact, refused to work in this building. He went back to an older building in central London and announced that this place was closing. And it closed. They got everyone out by 1978 because Leyland was in no way in a financial state to keep a huge office like this going. A lot of the staff were moved back to the Midlands. The rest of them were moved into much smaller premises. They essentially did a swap, an office swap with Marathon, another oil company. Why is this still called Marathon House? Marathon were here to 98 when they left and it became flat. So in fact, they left before that. It was empty. And rather than demolish it because it was considered architecturally significant.
And how long have you known that this was Leyland's headquarters? Is this a recent discovery or something?
No, distressingly long time, because I'm that sad. I used to drive up and down the Marylebone Road on my way over to White City to work at the BBC. And I always used to drive past here and go, bloody hell, look at that. Once upon a time, if you think 1973, Leyland was kind of teetering on the brink of its slow collapse.
I'm thinking the terrible decisions that were taken in that building.
Well, yeah, and then probably the smart decision that was taken by Sir Michael Edwards, or Michael Edwards as he was then, to go, no, look at the size of this place, come on.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
As he's trying to essentially either make the company fit for survival or just shutter the whole damn thing so it's no longer the government's responsibility because it had been nationalised by then, he went, I think probably as much as anything for symbolic reasons, he just went, this is too much. So everybody out, as was a popular catchphrase at Leyland at the time.
Why here? What's the connection? Why did they come here? Why was headquarters not in the West Midlands?
Well, I guess, you know, it was still a very large company at that point and a very large employer, and it would make sense that it would have a London headquarters.
Yeah.
But I think Edward's view was that there should be a, you know, a sort of executive branch that's in London, but that a lot of other staff could do their job better, sort of closer to where the centre of gravity was. So this was surplus to requirements, but the building still stands. And it's actually, I think, is quite a cool building.
Yeah, I love 70s stuff. Yeah, I like brutalist stuff. I like this kind of... This should be on a trading estate in Slough, really, shouldn't it?
Well, it's been... It was discussed a lot at the time, I gather, in architectural journals, you know, as a very sort of interesting example of where the future of architecture was going. Because, yeah, 1959, but you'd look at this and go, well, this is a 60s building, but technically it was designed and built in the late 50s. So it sort of was quite advanced for its time. And using all these new techniques, and it's this sort of plinth and tower construction where you've got this big bit here that runs along the bottom, and then the tower bit sticks up from one half of it. And so
BT, you know, Tower is the same, isn't it? Oh yeah, Post Office,
well, yes,
Tower,
it
as it was.
It has a plinth sort of building at the bottom that people don't really notice because it's hidden by other buildings. But yeah, it was. I guess this was of the style at the time. I don't know particularly why, but yeah. So this was you know, the white heat of the future, and then taken over in a spirit of optimism by Leyland with their 20-year lease that turned out to be a complete waste of time.
The future of buildings, but not the future of the British motor industry, unfortunately.
Sadly not. No, this was, yeah, this but at this one point this was Leyland House.
Love it. Right, well, can we take you to somewhere else? Yes? Yes. Equally curious. I should have known that he would pick the Leyland related connection.
I know, and I do go on about British Leyland quite a lot, but to me this is sort of quite an interesting little artifact in the slightly sad history of that organisation.
Right, lads, jump in the car, off to the next one.
And if you'd like to know where Gareth and Zog are taking Richard, catch Gareth Jones on Speed episode 500, part 2, the Motoring Mystery Tour. Subscribe now so you don't miss it.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whizbang.
Gareth Jones on Speed! 500!